Brainwaves, hear the world differently, bringing community mental health to you, raising awareness and challenging stigma. Tune in to 3CR Community Radio, Wednesdays at 5 p.m.
Melbourne's Drive Time Radio program, featuring community organisations, powerful stories and information. Find us at brainwaves.org.au. Proudly sponsored by Wellways Australia.
I would like to begin by paying my respects to the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which I am coming to you from today. Land where at Brainwaves we tell our stories, and land where the traditional custodians have told their stories for many, many years before us, and continue to tell their stories. I would like to pay my respects to Elders past and present, and acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners who are listening today.
Hello and welcome to Brainwaves on 3CR 855am, digital radio and online at 3cr.org.au. My name's Mark and today I'm joined by singer-songwriter Carmen. Last year, Carmen released her mostly self-produced debut album, All My Life, which explores themes of personal growth, identity, and life as a neurodivergent person. I'm really looking forward to hearing more about her journey and the stories behind the music. Carmen, thank you so much for joining us at Brainwaves. It's wonderful to have you with us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super keen to be here.
Would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Okay, I'm Carmen, a neurodivergent indie folk pop artist from Sydney. I make kind of mellow melodic music about mental health and my experiences navigating life being neurodivergent. And I just released my debut album, All My Life. The album actually came out this year.
You describe yourself as a neurodivergent artist. We hear the term neurodivergent used in a lot of different ways. What does being neurodivergent mean to you personally?
That's a hard question. I feel like for me, being neurodivergent, being creative, being a little different, seeing the world a little differently, I think there's a lot of benefits, but there's also some negatives. Like something I really struggle with is feeling like a burden or handling or cycling through social situations.
I think some of those themes actually come up in some of the songs that are on the album as well. Yeah. No two autistic or ADHD people experience the world in exactly the same way. How do your particular neurodivergent traits shape the way that you think, feel, and move through life?
I think I'm noticing how it shapes the way how people treat me differently, because if I look at someone who's neurotypical and how people see them and how they act, then I'll see how I act. It's just a little different. It's really cool to see how other people's brains work. My brain's not logical. Everything's just everywhere. Imagine just like a room and 1,000 billion pieces. I see it shapes the way I think more. It's more creatively. Like sometimes if I'm out, like I don't know how to explain it. If I sometimes imagine choreography in my head, or when I'm driving and I'm listening to music, I'll imagine a music video in my head. So I kind of always think of the ideas and creativity, and my brain always comes to that kind of spontaneous place.
When you mentioned that you're imagining choreography, are you talking about like dances that might go to music that's playing on the radio, or your own music?
I'm always been drawn to dance, but I just imagine like the dance routines in my head.
All right. So you always switched on creatively, it sounds like. Yeah.
Most of the time when I'm not doom scrolling, but I always have that in me. Yeah.
When did you first begin writing and performing music, Carmen?
I wrote my first song at 12, and I've been writing off and on ever since then as an outlet for just life and being neurodivergent. And then I started performing. I did perform when I was younger at like a Stedfords and at high school, but then about 3 years ago is when I started doing paid gigs and performing at pubs.
When did music in particular become an outlet for you to process some of the mental health struggles you've experienced over the years?
Maybe always. I think when I was younger, I'd always write songs or just use it more as like a journal, or write songs as just a diary for how I feel, just off and on when I was younger. But maybe ever since I was 12, and then I also, even now when I'm getting older, I use it as kind of therapy for myself if I've gone through something or I'm feeling down.
You recently released your debut album, All
Yes.
My Life. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Could you tell us a little bit about the album and what you hoped to express through it?
The album is the struggles people go through in their early adulthood. It unpacks themes of mental health, heartbreak, discovery. It just kind of just shows a picture of what life is like in early adulthood. When people are listening to it, I hope they can realize they're not alone in what they're going through, and they can be like, I kind of resonate with this. I can relate to this, and it's good to know there's someone else who feels the same.
We're going to hear the title track shortly. What can you tell us about the song? The opening lyrics are quite powerful.
Thank you.
They go, I still hate the deepest parts of myself. You don't have to explain. Unfolding in the moment, it cuts through my veins. These lyrics are they're quite gut-wrenching. What was it like expressing these painful and sort of self-critical aspects of yourself in this song?
I think at first it was a bit difficult. I remember the first time I performed it. It was hard, but I don't know. It feels like every time I perform it, it feels like I'm letting a little piece of myself to the audience, and it's really cool. I get to connect with people in that way. So I don't really find it hard. I used to find it hard, but not anymore.
All right, we're going to play All My Life by Carmen here on Brainwaves.
I still hate the deepest parts of myself. You don't have to explain. Unfolding in the moment, it cuts through my veins. I yearn for an answer. You don't hesitate. I hindered myself, pretending I was okay. It's astronomical to think I wasted years of my life grappling with decisions that I never liked. And I'm a roller coaster. I thought you didn't mind.
astronomical to think I wasted years of my life graveling with decisions that I never liked. And I'm a roller coaster, I thought you didn't mind. All this time, all my life.
So, which artists have influenced you most as a musician, you know, both growing up and yeah, as a musician?
Growing up, I listened to a lot of Shawn Mendes and Demi Lovato, but it wasn't until the past 4 years is where I really like singer-songwriters and like indie folk pop artists like Dodie, Phoebe Bridgers, Olivia Rodrigo, Lizzie McAlpine, Fiona Apple, Joni Mitchell, to name a few. But the main ones are really Olivia Rodrigo. I'm really drawn to her honest and gut-wrenching lyrics, and there's something about her that makes her music so relatable. And then Phoebe Bridgers was one of the first artists that got me into open tunings, because some of my songs are in that. I love songs that have like the mellow sound and like the huge instruments.
You mentioned something called open.
Open.
Yeah, what does that mean for non-musicians? How would you explain that?
Okay, so a guitar, you know how there's notes in a piano? Each string on the guitar is tuned to a certain note, and you change that certain note to make a chord. So I'll just get my piano out now. So this is a chord. So when I play the guitar, you hear like this chord, for example. Or this chord, for example. It's just a way of making the guitar sound better.
And as a music fan and someone who, yeah, music is obviously a big part of your life, in what ways has music helped you navigate the challenges that come with autism and ADHD?
It helps me process my emotions. If I didn't have music, I feel like there would be no purpose to life. You know what I mean? It gives me purpose. It makes me... It fuels my fire in the morning. And I've got to meet so many amazing people and do so many amazing things because of music. It's like therapy for me. This sounds really cheesy. Every time I step on stage or I get to perform or songwrite, a lot of the times I am anxious, but when I'm not anxious, it does feel like magic.
Have you received any memorable feedback from listeners of your album who also live with, you know, who are also autistic or have ADHD or anxiety?
Yes, a few times. I've had a few people say they relate to it. One of the most memorable ones was when I have a song called Ritalin on my debut EP, and it's just about how I use Ritalin to like, it like helps with life. And I played it at a market, and this one mom came up and talked to me and said that, oh, like now I know how it feels to have ADHD because like my son has it.
You spent 3 years writing and recording All My Life. What did you learn about yourself during that time, you know, both musically and personally?
I learned that to plan, you got to plan more, that good things take a long time, that patience is a virtue. But one of the most important things is if I'm going to record something, I recorded it in little spurts of moments. Like I might do like 2 hours here or 2 hours there or 3 hours here. It's better to like consolidate like a month or chunk of time to have the songs ready and record it then. If I was to record something next, I would record it in a chunk instead of doing it in different parts, because doing it in different parts, it makes the production not as good as it could be. For example, with the vocals, I recorded one of the song 2 years apart, and I had to like edit it, manipulate the shit out of it so it didn't sound like that. Or there were parts where I re-recorded the guitars at different times, so the distance from the mic can affect how the sound. If I did it all in one chunk, the production would be consistent, but some songs are better than others because I did a portion of it 3 years ago or 2 years ago when I was producing my own songs, and there was just MIDI drums. And then if you hear some of the later songs, there's in Irrevocable, there's like I got a cello or violin instrument. I also know that I can do anything I put my mind to.
It's a pretty long period of 3 years.
Yeah.
You must have been also changing the way that you actually wrote music. It must have been very unusual to connect two things that you had written so far apart when you were, experimenting with different tunings or and also
Yeah.
introducing different types of music to a composition as well.
Well, a few, most some of them I always relate to, but the songs about heartbreak and stuff I don't relate to anymore.
You mentioned that a lot of the themes of the music are about, I guess, getting through your, early adulthood. What kind
Yeah.
of, what kind of things did you learn from as a person as well, outside of your creativity, as a young person? What kind of things stood out for you as a sort of life lessons that you're taking with you into the next stage of your life as a artist?
Okay, I've learned a few things. A lot of them I still make mistakes with, but that everything is worse in your head than it seems. That anxiety just builds up a storm in the head, and that everything is better than what it seems. That heartbreak makes for good songs. That to get off my phone. I think mainly the anxiety thing, and to just take things, things take time, and to just be kind and patient to myself.
That's beautiful.
Mostly the anxiety thing though.
If you don't mind me asking, do you have any strategies that you personally use when things are getting a bit too chaotic in your mind?
Sometimes I'll try to think more positive thoughts, or take a big deep breath. I'm still working on it.
We're going to close out this evening's Brainwave Show with another track from the album. The song is called Irrevocable. What would you like listeners to know about this song, Carmen?
There's so much I want to say. This song, I wrote this song about this time I stayed up till 9 a.m. on my phone, and I felt so guilty. For this song, there's a whole string orchestral section. It's a very pretty song. There's violins, and it sounds like something from Bridgerton. I compose the violin and all the different parts, and I got violin, cello, and double bass to play parts on the song.
All
And
right.
I also used MIDI viola on the song. It's hearing like a violin in a song just makes a world of difference. It brings a song to life.
Here's Carmen with Irrevocable from the album All My Life.
Time I go to sleep, guilt says it's hard to bear when you find me. I'm hypnotized until my eyes start. The blue rise is all I am, just a sloth over a screen. The endless void swallowed my pride. It's hollow, the all-consuming lux in the night. I hate to think why I'm unpredictable, I'm unreliable, impulsive, reckless, nothing left to say. The power that you hold, I'm irrevocable. If I face the truth, will I make it all okay? soul. My deepest flaws swallow my pride. It's hollow, the aftermath sinking in the night. And I know why I'm unpredictable, I'm unreliable, explosive, helpless, never been okay. The power that you hold, I'm irrevocable. Oh, I'm irrevocable. Oh, maybe if I face the truth, I'll find. Maybe if I bury you, I'll find. I'm unpredictable, I'm emotional, unstable, chaotic, broken. The power that you hold, I'm irrevocable.
You mentioned you were a participant in the New South Wales Songsmith program for deaf and disabled musicians. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about that program?
It was a music industry program. It takes you through the process of releasing and working on a song and producing it. And so we had Zoom sessions and with mentors, and then we had a 6-day recording session where we collaborated with the mentors and the other participants to work on a song. With this helps with learning more about the industry and it getting more guidance and more support and making more connections.
All right. Yeah. So when you talk about making new connections, what types of connections would they be?
Friends and profession and more like music industry contacts. I think it was really cool to be surrounded by other neurodivergent artists.
Yeah. So what else did the mentorship involve? Yeah. My understanding is that the participants were supported through multiple stages of songwriting, yeah, recording and promotion. So it was like day one, you'd be working on a song and the next day it was recording it, or how did it all go, all that?
Stage one was the introductory stage. So it was those 6 2-hour Zoom sessions where we were introduced to the other participants and mentors, and then each week we had like a presenter and we learned different things about the industry or what to expect from the program. The second stage was the recording stage. The idea was by the end of the stage for everyone to have their own song ready. Everyone came in person. There was like studios and space. So there was a space that we had rented out for the 6 days. And for those 6 days, we kind of rotated with the collaborators and also worked with other participants to help develop the songs we had prepared. So we had like a song each. You could use a previous song or use a song from scratch. I did a previous song, and then we had to record those parts and have all the layers ready. And by the end of it, we had all the layers ready to be sent off to the mixing engineer.
Did you know anything about recording and production previous to attending?
Yes, I did a uni degree. Did know a fair bit about recording and production because I'd finished recording and producing my album and about maybe 5 or 10 songs before that on Spotify. And I'd studied some, I learned a bit of it at uni, so I had a bit of a fair grasp.
What was the most important thing that you learned about promotion that you didn't know before attending the program?
We didn't really learn more about the promotion side. We did learn a bit, but we learned more about the recording stuff. And
looking back, yeah, what was the most valuable lesson or insight you took away from the program?
I think one of the most valuable lessons is not music related is to do one thing at a time musically.
Yeah,
So
you mentioned that a bit in our last interview. Yeah, that you would like to do things that, yeah, and yeah.
slowly and one thing at a time, because doing everything scattered won't get much done. And also to listen more and not be in the center of attention a lot, which is one of the biggest, hardest things I'm still learning. Also that I don't, it's really cool. It was very cool being amongst other neurodivergent artists. The point of the program was to have a safe space for neurodivergent, deaf and disabled artists, because there's a lot of spaces out there that aren't equipped for that in the music industry, and it's more cutthroat. So having a space designed for that really makes them a welcome and welcoming and inclusive environment.
So, yeah, being in that environment, did you feel safer to express yourself and be heard or?
I felt more welcome than I would feel as if I was going to a space where there's not neurodivergent artists, there's neurotypical artists. So I felt more welcomed than when it's in at home.
Yeah, and I imagine you studied music at uni, is that right? Yeah. So, I imagine that you were sharing a lot of spaces with people that might not have had your comfort in mind when they were interacting with you. Yeah. So it must have been interesting to find yourself in a space that was, specifically created with your needs and other people's needs in mind from, just the get-go.
It was really cool. Some of the people from the program were very, very creative, and like one of the persons made zines, another one made their own clothes, and everyone just had all these really, really cool hobbies and interests.
Could you describe the space, what they did do to make it inclusive to people?
They had a sensory room, so if you got overwhelmed, you could go do your own thing. They had a breakout room also. Like they had like a mental health coordinator there, so if like anyone needed anything or needed to get anything, they could the person could go get it. It's very flexible to work to everyone's needs.
You would have been working alongside musicians with a wide range of backgrounds and experience. What was it like connecting with the other musicians in the program?
I enjoyed it. It's really cool hearing about everyone's different stories and their different interests and experiences. It was very warm and it felt very authentic and interesting to hear about everyone's different hobbies and how versatile the music industry is. Like there was one person who worked in like music therapy, someone else worked in production, someone worked in composition. So it was just very, very versatile.
Yeah, so you must have learned a lot of new things about music that perhaps you hadn't considered before.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
We're going to hear your song Just the Way I Am shortly. It opens with the lyrics, "Everything at once or nothing at all. Thoughts travel quick in my mind. Everything's a blur." These lines reminded me of psychiatrist Dr. Edward Hallowell's description of ADHD as a Ferrari engine with bicycle brakes. Does that analogy resonate with you as a person with ADHD? And was that part of what you were trying to capture in the song, the experience of having an ADHD brain that's running quite fast?
The song's more about autistic burnout and how it feels navigating a neurotypical society. But at the start of it, when you mention those lines, yes, it's kind of also intertwined with ADHD and how everything goes everywhere when you're overthinking. And in that, and having those thoughts and having ADHD is like having them magnified, so it's everywhere.
All right, I'm going to play Just the Way I Am by Carmen. And we'll be back after this.
Everything at once or nothing at all. Thoughts travel quick in my mind. Everything's a blur. Am I a burden? I don't have to explain how I feel inside. It's ringing in my ears, makes me wanna disappear. The pressure stacking up like bricks, every word, every jab. Don't you understand how bad the wound bleeds? 'Cause I'm burned out and I don't know why. 'Cause I'm screaming, holding on for dear life. Overwhelmed all the goddamn time. My head keeps second guessing. Can't focus with everyone's eyes on me. I just disappear under my blanket. Come back in a year. I'm running low, these old excuses. I can't deny I'm hungry for some oxygen. Why can't I finish a goddamn sentence? Why am I paralyzed by indecision? Why am I always such a mess? Why do I act without thinking? Why do I always pretend to listen? Why can't I comprehend any concept? Gotten so used to disappointing. Nobody understands. Maybe I'll remember. It's just the way I am. It's just the way I am.
Could you tell us a bit about the approach you took recording and producing this album?
It was very spontaneous. I kind of grew with the album. It started off at uni when I was recording it. I didn't even realize some of the songs I was recording was for that album. And I think it was around 2.5 years ago, I realized I wanted to make an album with these songs. So then I kind of started recording songs. They kind of formed as it went along the way. It kind of formed itself as I grew as a person. It wasn't like a plan at the start that I had. I kind of did it as I went along.
What about the recording process? You mentioned that you also, you actually took charge of a lot of that yourself for some of it. Yeah.
I wanted to produce it myself because I'm very particular and with what I want, and I'm a bit of a perfectionist. So I started recording it at uni because they had songwriting studios, so I recorded it using their mics and with the MIDI keyboards they had. I would record a lot of the ideas and the tracks. A lot of it chopped and changed as I went along, as I mentioned. Like I got some of the songs mixed and mastered several different times and by several different people until I was happy with what I got. The process was very scattered. It wasn't like a linear. It kind of was very fail and start again, fail and start again. Like when I started it, I had my mate doing the mixing and mastering, but Then I changed to someone else to do it. And then when I changed to another person, so it wasn't Tasha Newling from Forbes Street Studio. When I got her to mix and master, it wasn't till the last year of production I had to get all the stems ready. So I just sent all the layers through and it was very technical. Pretty much the last year and a half is when most of the songs were mixed and mastered. And most of the recording, it started very slow, but then the last year is when everything really formed together.
Going to say, because there was a lot of sort of stopping and starting and sort of recording and re-recording it, were you sort of learning some aspects about recording and production as you went along, and you're like, oh, I've just learned something new, so I've got this new knowledge and I can make it sound better with this new knowledge that I have.
Yes, 100%. Like, oh, there was parts of the originals. A lot of the parts I had originally recorded, I was listening back to them, and they were so bad, really, really fucking bad. And I had to re-record a lot of, like, in the songs, like All My Life. Even the original was all just computer generated. Then I went back and added drums and almost on some of the songs, and went back and added violins on some of the songs. Went back and then added more layers in, added more production elements in. Like I've got firework sounds, got door slam sounds in some songs. So I just had to go back and add a lot and improve the aspects of it.
Sort of swinging back to mental health related questions. I'm curious, well, what kind of, what do you do, besides music to look after your well-being and maintain, your mental health?
I very prioritize my social life, so I try to go out 2 to 3 to 4 times a week and see my school friends. I try to go out to music things. Music grounds me a lot. I do a lot of arts and crafts. I've been recently doing just a lot with Posca markers. I made a zine the other day. I did jewelry making a while back. I have a lot of things to ground me. Like I used to rollerblade, so I recently got back into rollerblading. I like to do Pilates once a week. Sometimes I go rock climbing. So there's a lot, but it's very scattered. It's not like linear. But I think being creative and is what helps me.
You sort of mentioned this earlier in the interview, but autistic burnout can have a
Yes.
significant, yeah, it can have a significant impact on a person's
Yeah.
physical, emotional, and mental well-being. How do you recognize the signs of burnout in yourself, and what strategies help you prevent a autistic burnout? And how do you recover from it?
You recognize it by knowing your limits and not pushing yourself. So, not trying to do as much as someone who is neurotypical, because neurotypical people can do more than neurodivergent, because it's a more being neurodivergent, having autism, the world's more sensitive to the world and everything is more stimulating, and being around people's more tiring. So, when you feel like you're more sensitive to sounds, or when you feel like things that used to be easier are now harder, you might be on the road to burnout. I mean, I didn't, when I realized when I was burnt out, it's like my logic started to fade. Like it's when I actually developed sensory issues. Like before that, I never had sensory issues. And then I knew I was burnt out. My OT said I was burnt out, because at one point, the sound of like typing sounds was like too much for me. I haven't been that burnt out since. I think my coping strategies aren't the best, but I'd cope by what I'd recommend is not continuously having 6 hours of sleep and doing stuff every single day. If you are going to be nonstop, just having one day for yourself to chill and do nothing and actually sleep at 8 hours, because that actually does make a world of difference.
Now that All My Life has been released, what's next on for you creatively? Have you started work on new material, or are you taking some time out to recharge?
Well, I just did the Songsmith program, so produced that. So I hope to release that song maybe. I'm kind of not really in a writing position right now, because I just released a whole album. I'm focusing on I'm in a band called Vampire Vampire, so I've been learning how to play the bass. I've been focusing on that and focusing more on my guitar. I think focusing more on other aspects like teaching and gigs, and just getting my life afloat.
Where can listeners find out more about you and your music? You've just mentioned that you're in another group called, did you say Vampire Vampire?
The Vampire
Yeah.
Vampire.
Yeah. Where can people find out more about your music and Vampire Vampire?
They can find Vampire Vampire in on Spotify and Instagram. It's just Vampire Vampire Band.
And what about yourself? Do you have a website or Bandcamp?
I have a Bandcamp. I'm on every streaming platform. I'm under C Carmen with an O. So CARMON, and then my Instagram and stuff is CARMON_02.
We're going to finish the show with one final track from the album. The track is called Skeletons. What can you tell our listeners about the song before we hear it?
The song is about anxiety and how it feels to be swallowed alive and consumed with anxiety, because anxiety strips everything away until it leaves you with a skeleton.
We're going to play Skeletons by Carmen on 3CR.
Every bone in my body, every ounce of blood, you crave, crave, and crave. I guess the scraps wasn't enough, and you like to linger, feed off the flood. You'll spin, spin, and spin until I can't keep up. Yearn, yearn, yearn. What else do you want? You take and take until my final breath. Pick apart every wound until there's nothing left. Consume every ounce of hope I ever had, and leave me with skeletons. Da 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 da. To harm me, can't escape your grasp. The lies that you leave cause an avalanche. Stuck in the same place I've been for months, dissecting my thoughts, infecting my lungs. My heart beats loaded gun. You take and take until my final breath. Pick apart every wound. What did you expect? Crush my pride in the palm of your hands and leave me with skeletons. Da 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 da. And leave me with skeletons. Anxiety, bones of my skin. Sympathetic, I just let you be. My head is like the apocalypse, and the guilt crawling down my chest like a storm swallowing my breath. Racing hard, I've learned to accept.
Big thank you to Carmen for joining us at Brainwaves this evening. I really enjoyed hearing about them talk about their new album, All My Life. You can find more of our shows at the 3CR website, which is 3cr.org.au, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Feel free to send us feedback or suggestions for shows to brainwaves@wellways.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next Wednesday at 5 p.m. for another episode of Brainwaves on 3CR.